Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
Are you ready to get into the message this morning? Amen. You know, one of the things that we started last week, starting out the first Sunday of the year of 2024. And there was just some things that were stirring in my heart. So we kind of went in a little bit different direction. But I want to just kind of pick up where we left off last week in the sense of, and really kind of review some things that we actually shared as well in regards to the scripture concerning what time that we're in and what God has said in regards to the time that we're living. And if you recall, the Bible says Jesus himself said this. He said, when I come, he said, will I find anyone living by faith? Right? And then he also said this. He said, when you see some things that are transpiring in the earth, things that are going on, he said, you'll know that my coming is very soon. He says, so look up, for your redemption draws near, or I'm coming soon. And so we could put the two together and we could say it this way. As we see the signs of the time approaching and the things that are taking place right now, Jesus is saying, is there anybody that is exercising and living by faith and looking up and awaiting for my return? Amen. Is anybody looking for me to come, or is people, or are people in a slumber? Are they dull? Are they just living life? And there's a lot of individuals that are living just that way, living dull spiritually, not being aware of the hour that we're in. But he said this, he says, I'm looking for people that will have a heart of faith, that have an expectation for my return. And how many of you understand that if you're looking for his return, and if you're aware of the hour that you're in, that it will cause you to respond and to act differently, right? It will cause you to act differently. In fact, for that matter, how many of you have ever just been laying in bed at night? You know, or you've been sleeping at night. You got to work the next morning, or you got to get up early. You got an appointment or whatever the case might be. And you know that the alarm's going off, but you got up or you woke up before the alarm went off. And there's still like 3 or 4 hours before the alarm goes off. But all of a sudden you're thinking, dear God, I am just wide awake. I'm kind of anxious and kind of just, I can't get back to sleep. I'm thinking because of what's up and coming, right? And you're not able to go back to sleep because you're anticipating the alarm going off, knowing that your departure from your bed is coming very soon. And so you lay there, and finally the alarm goes off and you get up, right? Well, so we ought to be that way when it comes to the Lord. Having such an awareness and anticipation that we just can't be idle. We can't just be sleeping. That it causes us to awaken on the inside and say, man, I am ready to do what you called me to do. Amen? Amen. Are you excited to be here this morning? Yes. Amen. Do we need to bring in the coffee this morning? Anybody need a shot? Need a refill? All right. Hey, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm awake. Are you awake? Amen. All right. All right. So we're going to purpose to live this life and this year. The title of our message is this: Living 24 in 24. Living 24 in 24. What does that mean? That means that I'm purposing to live each day, 24 hours a day, for this next year of the year of 2024. I'm going to live with a constant awareness of God in my life. I'm going to be purposing to be conscious of Jesus everywhere that I'm at, being mindful of him. And I know that when we say that, people say, well, come on, Pastor, that's just unrealistic. Come on. You know, that's just too hard. You know, that's just being overly spiritual. You know, you're getting in the ditch to think that we can be mindful of God all day long. How many of you think that you can? You can. You can be conscious of him. Now, that doesn't mean every fleeting second that he's on your mind, but he's talking about having a life that's constantly aware of him. In fact, he says this. He says, pray without ceasing. Does he mean that you can't have a productive life, that you can't go to work, that you can't do this or can't do that because you got to be in your prayer closet praying 24/7? No, he's talking about having a consciousness, a prayerfulness of communion with him, right? Just having a consciousness of him throughout your day. And the reality is that if you'll pay attention, you'll find that he's giving you little nudges here and there, just saying, how you doing? Just want to love on you right now. Amen. Come on. Excuse me. When we were worshiping the Lord, and there is that song right at the end where it says, Lord, you reign. Man, I'm telling you what, as I began to sing that and that last stanza of the song, man, I tell you what, he came and visited me. I mean, he got all over me, and I'm like, whoo, praise God, he reigns. Amen. I was very conscious and aware of that he is alive and that he's on the inside and he's here right now because I'm exalting him. Praise God. And so God wants us to know that you can live a life of being aware of him all the time, 24/7, all through the year of 2024. Amen. Now, once again, I know that just having that kind of conversation tends to rub people sometimes. Like, oh, you're just being overly religious. You know, and it's kind of like this. You know, people have this mentality that, you know, as we get older, it gets more difficult to live this life and serve Jesus. In fact, we live this life getting to the place of where maybe we can retire, right? And then once you get into retirement years, then you're like, well, now, Pastor, don't pressure me. Don't pressure me because, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be. My question for you is, why in the world do we live all of our life working to make a living, getting to a place of retirement where we can sit back and all of a sudden we have this mentality, well, now that I'm retired, I'm just going to live more carnal than I did before. Are you getting what I'm saying? The older that I get, and now that I'm retired, it's harder to serve God as I get older, and therefore I'll be more carnal in my older years. No, listen, the older that you get, the more that you walk with God, the more that you ought to know God, and the easier that it becomes. And for that matter, did you work your entire life to get to a place of retiring just to do less? Really? I mean, again, I think we have this mentality that I'm going to work, and then once I work, I'm going to retire, and then I'm just going to pinch and budget my life so much so, just so that I can get by in these latter years of my life. Who in the world wants to live that way? Who wants to live lesser when you retire than when you were working all your life? Well, all the more when you get to the place of retirement with God. Come on, am I talking to some older people in this place? When you get older in life, you ought to be able to a place to say, I've got more free time to serve God, to know God, to walk with God, and express God because I don't have anything constraining me. Amen? Oh, come on, somebody. God wants us to know him and experience him. And if you recall, the scripture says this. In fact, over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Let me read it to you again. We shared this last week. In verse 28, it says, come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh you. Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, and humbly, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. You'll find relief. You'll find ease. You'll find refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your soul. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good. It's not harsh. It's not hard. It's not sharp. It's not pressing. But it's comfortable and it's gracious and it's pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Did you hear that? Now, once again, I don't know if you've skipped over that when you've read it in your Bible. Or if you just chose to ignore it. Or did you just chose to not accept what Jesus, the head of the church, was saying. Well, I know that was Jesus talking. I know that it's written in my Bible in red. But he hasn't been living in the time and the hour that we're in. And it's a whole lot harder than he ever knew it would be. No, Jesus said, if you'll take my yoke upon you, you will find rest. So in other words, rest is available. All he did is said, all you got to do is take my yoke upon you. And once again, we've had this idea and we bought into the lie that walking with Jesus and serving him is hard. But he said this yoke is easy. It's not hard. He said it's actually refreshing. And then I like that one word where it says recreation. Oh, come on. Some people need to know that they can smile in church. Some people need to know that they can laugh in church, that they can have fun outside of everything else that the world celebrates and knows. There is a refreshing and a recreation and a joy in walking with Jesus. And he said, it's not hard. Amen. He said, it's refreshing. Take my yoke upon you. He said, for it's not pressing. It's comfortable. It's gracious and pleasant. And it's not burdensome, but it's light and it's easy. Amen. Jesus never said that serving him was going to be hard. Growing in God isn't hard. He simply says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. And I believe that that's where the resistance is. I believe that's where we find the struggle. It's getting to that place of putting or taking his yoke upon us. Because we've been told various different things that this is what it looks like to walk with Jesus. This is what you must be, and this is what you must become, and this is what it looks like, and therefore we've been resistant. And I think that's much of where the battle is that we've just been standoffish to say, God, I'll take the yoke. I'll take the yoke. But notice this once again, he says, it's easy. Take my yoke upon you. I was praying last night, and as I was praying and going over my notes, the Lord showed me something, and it was such a beautiful picture to me in the moment that I just began to weep. And I go, God, that's so beautiful. It's so easy. And you know the scripture says this, that in regards to our relationship with God, he says that our relationship with Jesus is like a marriage, right? He says that we, the body of Christ, are the bride, or the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the groom, right? Well, if you're married, hopefully you love each other, right? And you love each other's company. But this is what the Lord said to me. He said, my yoke is like you holding hands with your wife. I'm going to demonstrate that. Honey, come up here. So, he said, my yoke is like holding hands. When you hold hands, there's something that's being communicated, isn't there? Like, oh. I just love her. There's something being communicated that there is a union that we have, right? In holding hands or this yoke that we have, there's help. Did you notice that when I extended my hand, she grabbed my hand and I helped her up on the platform? You know, she didn't resist it. When I extended the hand, she just grabbed hold of it. Why? Because she has learned to trust me and knew that I would help her, right? You know, there's been times when, you know, you're holding hands with your spouse. And again, this mental picture came to me. You know, you're getting ready to cross the road, right? And you're walking. And then all of a sudden you stop because there's traffic coming. Well, I didn't even have to say nothing. But there was a tensing in my hand, in my posture. And she stopped right along with it. Why? Because she's yoked with me. She's holding my hand, and there was something that was communicated. There was safety as a result of me holding hands with her and her with me, right? Once again, there's fellowship in this. There's an exchange of love. There's a union in holding hands, right? There's a boundary in holding hands or this yoke. For instance, if I started getting too close, stay there for a minute. If I, whoa. What happened? I was holding hands. That yoke or holding hands with her created a boundary for my life that created safety, right? Nothing about what I'm doing is burdensome. Nothing about what I'm doing right now is hard. It's easy and it's light. And it's enjoyable. And in this union with my wife, it can be recreational. We're just strolling along, having fun. In fact, we were doing this one time when we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I thought, we're going to have an amazing time. I've got some rollerblades. And her niece has some rollerblades. And she's never been rollerblading before. And so because she's never been rollerblading before, I thought I'll take her in a subdivision that's got rolling hills in it. You know, we'll get up on a hill and therefore the going down the hill would just create momentum. And all she has to do is go along for the ride. And I'll just hold her by the hand. And so we go strolling down the subdivision and we get to the top of the hill. And then all of a sudden we start going down the hill. And Kelly realizes I don't know how to skate.
No, I think it was the things I had to.
The what?
I had my nephews.
Yeah, okay. Whatever it was. We're holding hands. She goes down. She has shorts on. And so as she goes down, I'm holding her. I'm holding her up. And so rather than just letting her go and fall and stop, I'm holding her up and I'm dragging her on the asphalt on her knees. And she still has scars on her knees from me dragging her on the asphalt. Boy, we had a recreational time that day, I tell you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, babe. Are you getting the point? See, holding hands with your spouse or your children or whatever the case is, it's not a hard thing. It's enjoyable, is it not? You know, I've shared this with you before, but it probably up until this past year, my son, we would go into the store somewhere. My son, he'd just, you know, casually come up and grab hold of my hand. And, you know, we was, you know, I at first I'm like, you know, son, let go of my hand. You know, I'm a man here. Don't hold my hand. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, why am I acting that way? Because, you know, there's going to come a time when he don't want nothing to do with me. He's got his friends and do it. You know, I thought, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this as much as I can. Right? Why? Because my son is expressing his heart and saying, hey, Dad, I want to be yoked together with you. I love you, Dad. And I don't care if anybody sees me. I'm holding my dad's hand. Amen. And that's as simple as this yoke being taken from Jesus and placed upon us. It's not him saying, it's time for you to go to work and do work. He says, listen, I'm right there with you. Amen. And as I said, when it comes to me being in a relationship with my wife, there's times that she will inspire me and cause me to want Jesus more. She'll say something, do something, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to get out of the flesh right now, and I got to get spiritual because my wife is getting spiritual. Okay, let's pray, baby. Now, let's pray, right? Or vice versa. What's it doing? It's iron sharpening iron. We're helping one another. Your local church is that way for you as well. Amen? You might say, well, I'm single. Listen, you've got a church family that will help you. But more importantly, you're yoked with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I've got you by the hand. Oh, come on. I'll lead you somewhere. Amen? I'll cause you to experience amazing things. I'll cause you to have a hunger that you never experienced before if you'll just take my hand. Amen? And as I began to see that picture of holding hands with Jesus, that's as simple as the yoke is. Then all of a sudden that verse became alive where it says over in Psalms 23, starting in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in the green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. He leads me. He leads me to pastures where there's plenty, where there's rest, where there's peace. He leads me beside still waters. When it seems like life is full of anxiety, he leads me. Why? Because I'm holding on. I'm yoked with Jesus, and his burden is easy. And his burden is light. Amen. He leads us so that our soul is comforted. And so when you think about it, I started to, you know, I don't know if you think like this in terms of pictures. But it says he leads us beside still waters into places of righteousness. That word righteousness means right standing with God. You're good with God. And as long as you're holding on to Jesus, you'll always be right with God. You'll be right where you need to be. But I started to think about this, like I said, in terms of pictures. He says, he leads me beside still waters. Well, then it also paints the picture that there must be a rougher water. If there's still waters, then there must be rough waters. And I started to think of this picture of being in a canoe. Has anybody went canoeing down a river before? All right. Maybe you went in a canoe with somebody else. So there's somebody in the front, somebody in the back, and you're going down the river together, right? And if you've ever come down the river, sometimes you'll come into a place where the river splits off. There's a Y in the river. And both branches of the river are headed the same direction. But did you ever notice that the one that is smaller, that leans off to the side, tends to have calmer waters, but the one that is the main source of the river begins to have a greater pull and a greater current right at the split of where those divide, right? And he says, I'll lead you beside still waters. There's a current that wants to pull you this way. He says, but I want you to find calm waters. What is the biggest challenge that you have in that moment? It's fighting the current to get from where you are to the place of where there is a calm current. He says, I'll lead you to places of righteousness. So in that moment, it's the unrighteous nature of us that wants to battle against God, that says, I don't want to be yoked with you. But he says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Just come on over here. Let me lead you to calm waters. Amen. Now, once again, you might say, Pastor, You're wanting me to get excited about something. You're trying to stir me up. Listen, how many of you understand that that's why you need the local church? You need the local church to fan the flame, to stir the inside and cause you not to hack out a lung. God has facilitated a church to help you get excited about God, right? He's given you a pastor to help stir your heart, right? And collectively together, we can do it. I said he wants us to experience calm waters. Well, then my mind went to this scripture here over in Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. The temple would be considered the church in the Old Testament. He said, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there were waters flowing from under the threshold of the temple. So notice it says that there were waters that were coming out of the church. So listen, when you get into the church, it connects you to the flow. It connects you to the waters, right? And what are his waters? He says, my waters are calm. Right? But then notice it says this. It says, now, the waters are flowing from underneath the threshold. He says, but then there was a span of distance. And he says, then there were waters that were ankle deep. Then we went a little bit further and there were waters that were knee deep. And then we went a little bit further and there were waters that were waist deep. And then we continued a little bit further and there were waters that we needed to swim in. But now let me ask you the question. Where was the deep waters? Was it closest to the church or the furthest away from the church? Because he says the waters were coming underneath the threshold or the door of the temple. But as you continued to go out, the waters got deeper. So here's my point. Your local church is the place that God connects you to the flow and the rivers of God. But if you think that church has to be the end all be all, or that it's got to be the deepest waters when you come to this place, you've missed the opportunity. Because it said it's this place that you get connected to the calm waters, but it's when you go away from the church that the waters ought to get deep. Meaning this, that your walk with God ought to get deeper when you go home and spend time in fellowship with Him. Amen. I said, it's when you get away from the local church. The local church spurs you on, fans the flame. But when you get outside of church, once again, you shouldn't have your relationship with God solely contingent based upon the local church. It's just a place to get your whistle wet, right? It's a place to spark the flame. But then you get out of this place and then you go home and it's like, oh God, there's no constraints here. Oh, we don't have a time span of worship here. Oh, we don't have to have word time and praise time and worship time. We can just get into the presence of God and there is no time with you. Oh, Father, I just want to get into some deep waters. Amen? He's wanting us to experience Him. He's wanting us to go further and know more of Him. And that's why we've purposed to come together in this season to have a time of prayer and fasting. To get into the presence of God. What are we doing here? We're giving you an excuse to press into God. I've said to you that in regards to the temple, think about it from the standpoint of your local church. What has your local church been to you? Do you remember the times when you came to church and it seemed like God was reading your mail? And you're thinking, dear God, did pastor get some kind of email or did my wife tell pastor what was going on? Because he's talking right now in my house. He's talking to me, right? Well, what about your local church, the time that you needed prayer and God performed a miracle? When God saved your marriage, when God restored your mind, when you were laying in bed and the doctor said there is no hope, but the church came up alongside and prayed and you saw the hand of God move. Remember, I said that the waters that are coming from the temple are more shallow than they are when you get away. But how oftentimes do we see people say, well, you know what? The church didn't do it for me no more. Something's wrong with the church. The church didn't change. Maybe you just expected the church to be the thing that just caused you to come ablaze and catch on fire for God when God says, I need you to do that. The church just helps spark the spark, fan the flame. Amen? God's looking for us to know Him. So in these next 2 weeks, I encourage you, press in. Press in. Spend time praying and fasting. Tell your flesh, it's time, flesh, for you to stop ruling my life. Mind, it's time that you get under control. It's time that this depression and oppression, it's time that you come to a stop and leave my house. Because I'm getting into the presence of God. And I'm taking His yoke upon me. And when I do, He said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And He said, I will find refreshment. And He said, I will find ease for my soul. He said, I will find refreshment and it's comfortable in this place. Let's press into His presence and go after God. Amen. There's multiple places in the Word of God where you see individuals calling for a fast. Times when they needed money miracles. Times when they needed to hear from God. Times when they needed to see God move in the midst of their family. I'm telling you what, in these next 2 weeks as we press in, put your petition before God and say, God, this is what I'm looking to see. Maybe it's your marriage restored or come back alive. Maybe it's the lost child or family member. God, I need them to know Jesus. Maybe it's financial. God, I need you to move. God will meet you where you're at. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? God's looking for us to get beyond our flesh. And I realize that our flesh is something that we've become so comfortable with. But if you've heard anything this morning, I want you to see the picture of Jesus extending His hand and say, will you take my yoke? Will you take my yoke? I've got rest for you. I've got peace for you. It's easy. Amen. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person that's in this place. That God, you would stir our hearts to extend our hand back to you. For God, we want everything that you have for us. God, there's nothing that you have withheld from us. You said every good and every perfect gift comes from above, and you've made it available. God, we have a covenant and a promise with you. And so therefore, we purpose to receive. We purpose to walk in the light of it. We ask that you would become more tangible and more real in these next 2 weeks. That as we pray, the very mention of your name, you would come and dwell in the room. That we would experience your presence, that your glory would fill our car as we're driving to work. God, I thank you that the presence of God would become so heavy on us that as we walk into the room, people at work would take notice. Father, I thank you that this church is going to be transformed as a result. We thank you for what you're doing. And we give you the praise in advance in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.